Good Thursday evening to you. Thank you for joining us, Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Wyza. We're going to get right into it. The three candidates running for the Republican Senate nomination meeting today in East Lansing for their first and only debate. And while former Congressman Pete Hoekstra appears to have a dominating lead in the polls, the candidate trailing him, Clark Durant, former CEO of Cornerstone Schools in Detroit, joins me now to talk about the debate and just how different he and Congressman Hoekstra really are. Clark, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Well, Michael, it was a great debate today or this afternoon. It was easy to point out the differences that between Pete Hoekstra and Clark Durant. Number one, Pete has been a part of this whole crowd for 18 years that has voted for all this debt and spending. We talked about how Pete in 1994 said all of his debt and spending was going to crush our children and grandchildren, and sure enough, that's what he did for the next 18 years. Washington changed Pete Hoekstra.
And we talked about that. One thing that did come out of the debate is that you and Congressman Hoekstra do have a lot in common, specifically your beliefs that the solution to our economic troubles are lowering taxes, reducing regulations, and of course, reducing government spending. Does that not make you in some ways quite similar?
No, because at the end of the day, it's about leadership. Pete's always believed those things, but his actions are different than what he says. He said that, you know, he believed all those things back in 1994. But since Pete was in Congress, debt went up, spending went up, taxes went up, government grew. You got to have a leader who will take on Washington. Pete made a promise that he was only going to serve 12 years. He's been on the ballot every time since 1992. He said he wouldn't take PAC money. Then he began to take PAC money. He talked about how the pressures of going along in Washington, you know, cause you to do these things. Clark Durant is going to challenge the status quo in Washington, and we're going to take on both Republicans and Democrats to cut spending and cut costs and cut taxes.
Now, he was there, obviously, for the Wall Street bailout. And it's easy to criticize that in hindsight, but at the moment when it occurred, you know, President Bush got on the air, said that we are facing a financial catastrophe. Are you saying in that moment that you yourself would have voted against the bailout, even though you were being told that it could lead us into a disaster?
I would have voted against the Wall Street bailout. Pete said in the debate, well, it just wasn't executed well. Look, all these government programs are not executed well. We all know that in advance. What Pete voted for was the following. It turned over two American icons, the Chrysler Corporation. It turned it over to an Italian company, Fiat. General Motors was turned over to a special interest, the UAW, in the auto bailout. And in the New York bankers bailout, we rewarded bad behavior and taxpayer money went all over the world. Those are not responsible things to do. We have become a bailout nation,
but
and that's wrong.
At the moment of both bailouts, we were facing, in real time, what we were told was a catastrophe. Are you saying that ultimately you would allow for something potentially horrible to happen rather than maybe a compromise or philosophy?
No, this isn't about compromising philosophy. This is about trying to figure out what works for our people, what works for our companies. What triumphed here was politics over people. That's the whole point. Government messed up these companies. Government has made it harder and harder for the working man and women to hold their jobs. Thousands of people lost their jobs under that forced political reorganization. Dealerships were closed. The Delphi salaried employees lost their promises and their jobs. The retirees and their bondholders, they lost their retirement money. This was not a good thing. What you have to do is limit government's regulation of these companies so that we can save jobs for people, not save jobs for the political friends of who's ever in power.
If we're talking about the auto industry bailout, many auto industry analysts even now say that without the bailout, a full bankruptcy would have led to millions of jobs being lost as part suppliers, you know, would be impacted also. Do you not believe that to be the case?
That simply is not true. And I'll tell you why it's not true. You had the whole elite class of people saying that these were impossible things to do. I've been a trustee in reorganization. You can find debtor in possession financing. We had great car companies. We have great workers. We have talented people. People invest in human capital. You had all these people who would benefit from having this political reorganization saying, it's dangerous, when in point of fact, if you allow the law to work, if you allow people to be out front instead of politics, you can get good results, and it's really leadership that was missing.
But wouldn't a full bankruptcy of GM and Chrysler, would that not have led to a much longer process of recovery and certainly many more jobs lost? Do you not believe that?
A properly structured reorganization allows a company to reconfigure its labor agreements. It allows it to reconfigure all sorts of things in order to have a successful outcome of reorganization. I've had that personal experience. I was the trustee of a railroad that the government told me to liquidate. It was the Ann Arbor Railroad. And they said, liquidate it. There's too much debt, too many claims, too many unions, all the rest of it. I met with our labor unions. I met with the different parties of interest, and we saved that railroad, and we didn't do it with taxpayer dollars. Now it's a tax-paying, successful business as opposed to being a subsidized business and a highly regulated business as it was before. These things are about leadership, Michael, and that's what counts.
I'm talking to Clark Durant, Republican Senate candidate, former CEO of Cornerstone Schools in Detroit. So the Tea Party Express, the nation's largest Tea Party political action committee, is endorsing you over Congressman Hoekstra. Would you say that indicates that you're less likely to compromise with Democrats if you do get to Washington and potentially add to the gridlock in Washington?
No, in point of fact, I have spent 40 years working with people from all backgrounds. I'm the only Republican, by the way, who's had Democrats, independents, traditional Republicans, and Tea Party people who have raised money for me, held fundraisers, circulated my petitions, gone door to door for me. And the reason is simply this. People know that Clark Durant will challenge the status quo to make things better for people, not for parties. Clark Durant will work hard to see that it's about people and not power, and it's allowing people to have more control over their own lives. I'm honored to have gotten the Tea Party Express endorsement today. They're fresh from Texas, where they were very active in helping Ted Cruz, be an established Republican candidate.
Well, I think
that's going to happen here.
Why did they wait till the last moment here to give you that endorsement?
Everything is timing. Everything, when they began to see the poll numbers begin to change, when this Fox News poll came out on Monday that showed that Pete's support had dropped to 38%, mine had gone up to 24%, and so many people undecided. Nobody expected that this insurgency campaign would raise the money we have to put our message out on TV in order to gain the traction that we have, and that's why they've come in, and I'm pleased, and this is absolutely the right time for it.
Well, Congressman Hoekstra, he's especially upset about this ad that's been running by the Super PAC, a group called Prosperity for Michigan, attacking him, saying that he is Washington, so he apparently can't change it. In fact, he wants an investigation because the reporting of the money that was raised, apparently they said there was no money raised in the spring, then they revised that. What is your relationship to that group, and what's your reaction to the complaint that was filed?
Well, first of all, it's an independent PAC, and we're not related to it. What Pete Hoekstra is angry about is not that. What he's angry about is that my ad that very specifically details that he voted for the Wall Street bailout, that he voted to raise the debt ceiling over $11 trillion multiple times, that he voted to raise his own pay, he voted for thousands of earmarks, and what people are saying, and Pete couldn't deny in the debate today, he had to admit that there was nothing in any of those statements that were false. They're all true. And Washington did change Pete Hoekstra, and he's become Washington. He didn't come back to Michigan. He went to work for a legal and lobbying firm. This is exactly what happens to these people. They get to Washington. They drink the water. And they forget that they're supposed to represent the people. And that's not dishonest. That's telling the truth.
Although people want results also, and one thing we found is that without compromise, nothing happens in Washington. Is that not the case? And how would you be able to change that coming in with such a strong position on these issues?
Well, it's not so – what I am a principled person who has worked out practical solutions for 40 years. I've worked with it. Look, when we saved the Ann Arbor Railroad, a state-owned enterprise, we had a Democratic governor. We had the Department of Transportation was run by the by Democrats and professional administrators and public servants, and we were able to work out with 14 labor unions and a whole range of different people a solution. When we started the Cornerstone Schools, I have Democrats, Independents, Republicans, rich people, poor people, city people and suburban people all coming together to create excellence without government money, by the way, for these children. So in a city with one of the lowest high school graduation rates, we created schools and with everybody's help that has the highest graduation rate and the best success of any of the schools in the city. And we did that with Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and others. I have a lifetime of doing that.
In a sense, you're saying you are ready to compromise with President Obama and maybe accept some of his ideas.
I am not prepared to accept tax increases on the American people. You do not reward a government that can't even pass a budget, let alone balance a budget. You do not reward a government that has trillions of dollars of unfunded liabilities. You do not reward bad behavior by the government with more taxes. We need to let people keep more of what they earn, whether they're highly successful or otherwise. That's where jobs are created. What President Obama has done is President Obama, who I think is going to lose, frankly, in November, and I think he's going to lose for a very simple reason. The hope and change that he promised people, he didn't deliver. If there was someone who wasn't going to compromise, we've seen that in the president. Unfortunately, Obamacare, Dodd-Frank is strangling the ability of private men and women to be able to have access to capital. I had lunch the other day with a bank executive who told me they had to let go 100+ business development officers in order to hire more than 200 compliance officers. You can't grow the economy with the way these politicians are crushing the private sector.
You were talking about tax increases, but the president is talking about increasing taxes on those with, what, $250,000 or more and limiting the tax increases to that group and not extending it to everybody.
Well, here's the whole point. You don't penalize success. That's what this president wants to do. He demonizes success. He tells people they didn't build it when, in point of fact, they did. And you don't, that's not how you grow the economy. You have to treat people fairly and equally. And, right. And people who are successful, they too should be able to keep more of what they earn because they're creating jobs far more efficiently. Look at what they've done.
Although I have to admit, hearing you, I can only wonder how would you work with him if he was reelected? It sounds like you pretty much detest everything he stands for.
No, I think if the president, here's the thing that is going to happen. What the president is seeing is that all sorts of people are gathering across the country, Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, and you're watching in these elections that are unfolding that people are not satisfied with his leadership. And I think that whoever the president of the United States is, the United States Senate has an obligation under the Constitution to be to take on and pass laws that are consistent with the Constitution. It's up to the president to sign them, and if he doesn't want to sign them, then we'll have to overturn his veto.
You have to acknowledge that he hasn't been able to get anything done since Republicans took over the House, right?
Sounds like he's not a very good compromiser, doesn't it?
It matters how you look at it. Certainly, one last thing, then, in terms of the polls, you mentioned the Fox News poll, but many pollsters here in Michigan are finding that Congressman Hoekstra's lead is dominating. One this week coming out showing he has 51% to your 17%.
Hey, Michael, go look at the tabs on that. Only 40% actually supported Congressman Hoekstra. Our numbers are clearly, and that poll had our numbers in the mid-high 20s. The point is, in some of these robo-polls, they don't give people who want to say we're undecided, they force the questions. These polls are closing. We've seen the internal ones. And by the way, the reason the Democrats are attacking me is because they've seen the same polls we've seen. The gap is closing, mm-hmm. and I'm the more formidable candidate to run against Debbie in November, and they're trying to beat me now. They'd much rather run against Pete because these polls are showing, the ones they've seen and that I've seen, show that Pete would not be as effective against Debbie Stabenow as I will. And just go to the Daily Caucus. They just reported that today.
What about the Epic MRA poll came out? It found that 33% of Republican voters don't recognize your name. What do you make of that, and how can you resolve that in just several days here?
Well, we can resolve it in the following way. We have just purchased another $225,000 worth of advertising. We're going to be in every major media market around the state. In point of fact, our numbers, I mean, I'm just telling you, Michael, I've seen them. Our numbers are going up, and people are gathering with us. We had a great rally earlier today in Frankenmuth. So we are actually making that progress, and this buy that we've just made is going to penetrate every market in the state in the same way it's been doing and building over these last 2.5 weeks. This takes time. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
I see. And ultimately, if you do go up against Senator Stabenow, you will have to argue that point that you oppose the auto industry bailout, and she will be able to point to the fact that, at least in the popular belief, that and those of auto analysts, that would have been a much more painful experience for many Michigan workers.
Here is the problem. The problem is that there's a lack of leadership in Washington. If there was better leadership in Washington, our workers, our Michigan workers, would have had a better deal. All of those dealerships that were closed, all those Delphi'd salaried employees, all those retirees, all of those people who lost their rights under this political reorganization, we are a country of laws. And we're not a country of power and politics. And when the laws mm-hmm. don't apply equally, and we do special favors and treatment for special friends and special interests, that's wrong.
Are you saying
Clark Durant will stand up against that? People will see that Clark Durant will stand up.
Are you saying the dealership kind of closures would not have occurred under a full bankruptcy?
The dealerships, all those dealerships didn't have to be forced to be closed. Those decisions were made politically, not economically. If this had been done as a proper reorganization, you would have seen a much better allocation of resources. You would have seen more. You would have seen private capital willing to come in. These are great companies. These are great people. And investors always look for that. Instead, they politicized it, gave away one of the companies to the Italians, and then gave the other away to a special interest, the UAW. That's not right. People want what's right, not what's wrong.
Something tells me this will be more of the central issue rather than the health care law here in Michigan, at least this election cycle.
I don't think so. I think people are looking forward. The auto bailout decision has been had. I disagree with you, Michael. This election is going to be about all of the things that Debbie Stabenow has voted for, like Obamacare, like Dodd-Frank, that going forward are going to make life miserable for Michigan. And she's going to, by supporting Obamacare, which I will vote to repeal, mm-hmm. We're going to destroy the doctor-patient relationship. You watch, there's going to be rationing. You look at the, just look at the language. And then there's new taxes. This is an abomination. This isn't health care. You don't take something as important as the relationship between a doctor and a patient and turn it over to faceless, nameless bureaucrats.
Although the truth is, we don't know the ultimate effect. We have to wait until the law takes full effect to see what happens. And certainly there may be negative, but yet some positive consequences. Don't you agree?
No, I don't agree.
No positive consequences at all.
I think that what we will have with the statute as it's currently written, we will have big insurance companies, big hospitals, big government telling ordinary people the kind of care and treatment they can get, the kind of insurance they have to buy, the kind of doctor they have to use, and that's not a good outcome. And we should not wait to see that, because we need to repeal it now before this destroys the greatest health care system in the world.
Well, some would argue that obviously that's not the case, considering how many people are uninsured. But you say they're going to be forced to choose. Aren't they going to be choosing on their own with our healthcare exchanges if we do, in fact, have one in place?
Absolutely. Go read the statute, Michael. That's absolutely not going to be what's happening. And the point is that you want more high-quality health care available to all people. You don't get it by turning it over to the government to run, and that's really what's happening.
Clark Durant, one of three candidates for the Republican Senate nomination. The primary is coming up next Tuesday. Clark, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Hey, Michael, I enjoyed it. And by the way, thanks for the work you do. I've listened periodically, and just thanks for the work you do.
Well, thank you. We will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.